Bank of America tries to recover from a case of the stinking Mondays.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Bank of America stock lost more than 6% of its value yesterday after it revealed it made a big mistake on its stress tests, the Federal Reserve System, to see if banks have the wherewithal to survive a future crisis without a bailout. B of A blames an internal communications error for misstating the amount of money it had in certain locations on its balance sheet. Here with more is Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Morning, my friend.
Hi, David. Good to be here.
Give me a better sense of what happened here. They messed up the test, the bank of this size?
Well, yeah. And, you know, look, this is not the kind of report card you want to bring to market on a Monday morning. But it's actually not so unprecedented. Citigroup and Goldman have had to go back and redo their math on these stress tests. The Fed itself has actually muffed the calculation. Karen Petru watches the banking industry at Federal Financial Analytics.
The banks are very complicated. Mistakes are going to happen. And the more they happen, the less credible the test is.
You know, so B of A will just have to go back to the drawing board, figure out how to make do with less on its dividend and stock buyback plans.
And what about regular or indeed institutional investors? There was supposed to be this bigger dividend.
Well, yeah. You know, and once upon a time, banks were sort of safe, steady, kind of boring stocks. They paid a dividend month after month. Now, with these complicated Fed regulations and stress tests, Karen Petru says nobody should really count on a specific dividend level.
To try to guess the Fed stress test and what that's going to mean each quarter in terms of how many cents of a dividend you're going to get, the Fed doesn't know it and the bank doesn't know it.
So I guess, you want safe and predictable. I guess it's to put it under the mattress.
All right. As long as you keep the door locked. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, you want to sell something. Put the letters O-P-R-A-H on it. Starting today, Oprah's tea will come out at Starbucks. Kate Davidson reports on the power of the brand of brands.
Here's what spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle has in common with Oprah's chai tea. One helps you awaken to your life's purpose. One just helps you wake up. Oprah recommended Tolle and helped him sell millions of books. So will her tea follow suit?
No.
At least according to marketing consultant Jonathan Salem Baskin. He says it's been a while since Oprah was a TV regular. But he says any sales are a win-win for Oprah, since proceeds help her youth education work.
The only potential downside exists for Starbucks. However sincerely they want to help Oprah support her schools, their goal is to sell a boatload of cups of tea.
How? Branding expert Denise Yan has an idea.
Tea may be perceived as being more exclusive, more upscale.
Oprah's known for her taste, but she also has mainstream appeal.
So this may be a way for Starbucks to make tea seem more accessible and relevant to the average person.
If the average person likes their tea with ginger and pepper, or as Oprah says, chide up. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
You may have missed this a while back in the MIT Sloan Management Review, Volume 52, Number 3. They call them dormant ties, but it's really about the business value of connecting with old flames, or at the very least, reconnecting with someone whom you used to know, to paraphrase Gautier. Wharton Business School professor Adam Grant keeps an eye on the business journals for us. Professor, revisiting old pals helps you with what?
Well, most people aren't that strategic about it, but there is this great research showing that when you need a job, going to the people you used to know actually gets you better quality information and leads than going to the people you currently know.
That's very interesting because you find yourself in a social setting. You're back at a reunion. You're going to gravitate toward your closer buddies. You're saying that might be a mistake.
That's right, because the people you know well tend to give you redundant knowledge. They know a lot of the same people and the same things that you do. Whereas those people you've lost touch with have been traveling in different circles and learning different things, and they can open up new worlds of opportunity.
The problem, of course, is if you ambush someone that you haven't talked to in 12 years wanting something, it's a little transactional, a little needy.
And it's also the case that some ties are dormant for a reason. But for the most part, people are pretty happy to be asked for advice, right? It's one thing to say, you know, I haven't talked to you in 15 years and I'd love your help. It's another to say, I know you have some expertise in this area, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to bounce something off of you.
But inherent in this is an interesting reminder about the significance of networking. It's about gathering information.
It is, and when most of us gather information, we do go to our friends and our trusted colleagues, and some people recognize that the acquaintances are great sources of advice, but it's really hard to reach out to those people. And I think that's the beauty of reconnecting with dormant ties. You have some shared history and common experience. And it's a lot easier to rekindle an old connection than it is to start a new one from scratch.
I don't know, but calling someone you haven't spoken with in so many years can be awkward. Got any icebreakers for us?
Oh, my favorite one by far is to say, you know, I realized that I thought nothing of you when we last saw each other, but now you've gone on to really great things. So can I please take all of your insight?
Okay, we're not going to use that one.
I didn't think so.
I was going to use, remember me, I was the one with the beer cans in my hat. That also is not going to work. Adam Grant is a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania and author of the book Give and Take. Adam, thank you.
My pleasure.
But seriously, Adam provided us with his actual top five ways to open a conversation with someone you'd lost track of. You can find these at marketplace.org. And come on, how can we not play a piece of this song, bitter as the lyrics are, that go along with it? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.